Judges 13:1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. The Philistines being over in Gaza, over there by the coast. We had seen in previous times the Philistines had been terrorizing those of the west of Jordan and the Ammonites over on the east side of the Jordan during the time of Gilead, the people of Gilead and Jephthah. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites. So if you have your map, this is the map that I gave you that delineates about the tribes. It's kind of greenish. And so here's a tribe that we've not heard from to date. Dan, over there at the coast by Joppa, and Lod is on the eastern border of it, Gezer. Kirjath-Jearim on the east side of it as it extends over to the east there up against Benjamin. And so that's the reason, the region, the small tribe of Dan. Of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. So here we see here Manoah and his wife, they don't have any children. And the Lord is going to do something. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. So one thing that we want to be on the lookout for in this chapter in particular, and again, I think it's a testimony to the sad condition that the people of Israel had got into. They'd gone after other gods. They'd not followed the Lord. They weren't satisfied with the Lord being their king and that way, that mode of operation. And it's said by some, if we just get out of there's good habits and there's bad habits, right? And we need to follow good habits, especially as the children of the Lord. And it's said about like attending church services. They can get out of the habit of coming to services and just get used to it. Get used to not coming. Where it kind of becomes the consideration, it's optional. Will I go today or will I not go today? Rather than it being, I will go. Now, certainly we're sick. Certainly there are those in our families that need to be tended to. But what had happened with these people, I think that we can see here from the scriptures, they got out of habit of listening to the Lord. And so when the word of the Lord comes along, they scratch their head and they say, is that really true? Now, we can see that in this chapter with this man and this woman. We're not looking to beat them up. We're just looking to learn. And the thing is, the design of the Lord is he tells us, he told our father Adam once, leave that tree in the midst of the garden alone. Otherwise, in the day that you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord meant that. He meant it, as we well know. And so listen to what we hear in this chapter. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said, you're barren, but you will conceive and bear a son. Verse 4, now therefore beware, he speaks unto her in instruction. I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. So here the angel speaks unto her, Manoah's wife, and says, you're going to have a son, and you watch yourself. You stay away from anything from the grape. Don't drink wine or any strong drink. Don't eat any unclean thing, because your son is going to be a Nazarite from the womb. And the implication there is, I believe, as we've studied about the vow of a Nazarite, anyone that would engage in the vow of the Nazarite would do so for a period of time. And then there were stipulations that if they went against the vow of a Nazarite, as the Lord had laid out in the Scripture, then their time was reset, and there they had to go again and fulfill the time. When they got through the time, then there were things for them to do, and then at that point, the vow was off. But Samson, he's going to be a Nazarite for life. Okay? He's going to be a Nazarite for life. From the womb to the day of his death. And so we read on here. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Another thing here is in verse number 1, it says the Philistines persecuted, the Lord used them to chastise Israel for 40 years. And I wonder here about Samson, what's the overlap, or is there overlap? In our accounting here, in the chart that I gave you, he judged Israel for 20 years, but he had to have some time to grow up. And so was it at the end of the 40 years that this came about? Or was it there lapped into the 40 years and then at the time that he came of age or whatever age that the Lord began to move upon him and use him? Interesting how that would be. The Lord to date has called a man to be a judge that was like Jephthah, a mighty man of valor. He was ready to go, step into the role, and tomorrow he's judging Israel. But isn't it interesting that now, not that Israel knows it, his parents know it, will know it, but they'll have to wait. They'll have to wait for their judge to grow up. Deliverance and help is coming. But it's going to be slower getting here than it has in times past. Interesting to me how that is. I don't know if there is anything for us to understand from it or not, but it is a difference. Then the woman, verse 6, came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. And there's moral fear that is had here of the one that appeared unto her. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, as she speaks to her husband, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. And so we see here she making it clear what the intention of the Lord is, that he would be a Nazarite all of his life. Then Manoah entreated the Lord. So this man looks and goes to the Lord. He prays unto him and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. He heard him. He hearkened to it. He heard him, and he did as he had requested. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So now Manoah, he hears what his wife says, but he's not content with that. He's like he's from Missouri. He's got to hear it for himself. All right, he's from the show me state, so to speak. And so he entreats of the Lord, and the Lord hears him, and the angel appears unto him. No, the angel appears unto her again. The message was brought to her in the first place. And the thing is, it was a man of God, she said and declared. But the thing is that word wasn't good enough. There wasn't an understanding that if God has ordained this to be, being so particular about Samson, the son, their son that she would conceive, would be a Nazarite, would be used of the Lord from some special calling, no doubt in time the Lord would send word about what to do. But this man, Manoah, he wants to know now. Okay? And God hearkened to him, and the angel came and appeared to the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Verse 10, and the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me in the other day. Didn't appear to him, but appeared to her. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? So how's all this go? What are we supposed to do? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. It's been said. It's been told. I told her what the word of the Lord is, and she needs to beware of that and obey that. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And so he stands by what he had said to her earlier. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And so he wants to be hospitable. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. You're not going to offer any sacrifice. I'm not going to eat of it. And if you're going to offer an offering, it's got to be to God. So we have an indication indeed that this is an angel of the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And so he wants to say, he says, well, hang on for a second. Let's make a kid ready. Let us make a meal real quick. And how would you make a meal real quick like that? But, probably in that day it was real quick. And for them, they hurried as fast as they could. And so let's make a meal. They want to honor him. They want to be hospitable towards the angel. They don't know he is an angel. He appears as a man. He's different in countenance, as Mrs. Manoah had said. But he says, I'll wait, but I'll not eat of what you make. And if you're going to offer an offering, you're not going to offer it to me. You're going to offer it to the Lord. And so Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. Now look at that. Consider that. The messenger, the angel, the definition of angel is a messenger of God. And sad to say, the shape of Manoah is such that he is bent is toward this of what he can see. Not the God who has sent the angel, not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. But he says, when your words come to pass, we want to honor you. He's starting to pick it up and consider it a point of worship. When this does come to pass, we want to honor you. Tell me your name. And when what you say comes to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? He says, I am not the point here. My name is secret, and it's going to be secret to you. There is no need for you to ask about me. I'm the messenger. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And so this altar that was made, and the kid and such that was prepared, as they would have prepared it for a meal, they took it and made it a sacrifice and ordered it right there. And the angel, and the power of the angel, the power of God was such that the fire went up from the altar up to heaven, and the angel went up in that flame going up to heaven. And they watched it. They saw it. Verse 20 there at the end, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. Well, I tell you what, no doubt it was a terrible sight. It was a terrific sight, unlike anything that they had seen before in their lives. And I would venture that we can say that because of the condition of the land, the condition of the nation of Israel, what do you think that the leaning of the people is? We saw last time how they're in their latest disobedience, how many different gods they picked up and went to. in the nation. Before it would say that they went and they served this one or they went and served that one. But a judge or so ago, we saw how they went all kinds of different directions to all kinds of different gods. So six, I think, different gods, false gods are listed there. Would you venture that the condition of the people in Israel is leaning to that of being spiritual and listening to the word of the Lord and such as that? Or would you see that the tendency is leaning toward being superstitious and idolatrous and such as that? The man wants to know the angel's name, so when these things come to pass, they can do him an honor. See what's going on there? The angel has said, this is the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord's going to do. Your son is going to be a Nazarite unto the Lord from the womb. God is doing something. God is doing something else. And like everything that Manoah hears, excludes God. He wants to know the angel's name. Because the angel told him, said, you're not going to do a sacrifice to me. You're going to do it to the Lord. Why does the angel have to say that? Is Manoah's bent towards sacrificing it to the one that he can see? It maybe seems like it is. And then they see this terrific sight of the offering being taken up into heaven, and the angel doing as he did wondrously and going up. And they have their faces to the ground in this terrific sight. But where does their knowledge of the Lord put them? It seems like to me they're on the leaning and the bent towards superstition, isn't it? Towards the following of false gods. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And so then it is he finally believes that he is an angel of the Lord. Remember what his wife said in verse number 6. And the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me. We kind of see her perception being better than her husband's, don't we? And his countenance was likened to the countenance of an angel of God. She had more perception because it said over in verse number 16, for Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. She had an inkling that, and understanding that he was very terrible. And so we see here, then Manoah knew, he was finally convinced that he was an angel of the Lord. Verse 22, and Manoah said unto his wife, we're going to die. We shall surely die because we have seen God. Is the angel of the Lord? Now it's made very clear, you'll not do sacrifice to me, you'll do sacrifice unto the Lord. And so he is an angel of the Lord. That's made very clear. Manoah has forgotten everything that's been said about how they're going to have a son. Well, if they die, how are they going to have a son? How will they raise the son? How will the things that the angel has said and the Lord's use of Samson going to come to pass? Just totally forgot, totally cannot hang on to what the Lord has ordained and settled before them. The word of the Lord sounds like this. And what they can see is all that he understands, Manoah. It's just like buzzing sound. You know what? Because if we get out of the habit of hearing the word of the Lord, that's the way it can be with us. We need to follow the word of the Lord. We need to learn the word of the Lord. We need to know the word of the Lord. We need to obey the word of the Lord. We need to have confidence in the Lord and his word. And when he says something, he means it. Let it not be just so much white noise unto us. Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Well, they've seen the working of the Lord. They've heard the word of the Lord. But they've not seen the Lord. They've seen the Lord's messenger. And indeed, if the messenger of the Lord is that terrible, how terrible would the sight of the Lord be unto them? But his wife said unto him, you see here, Mrs. Manoah, she has more spiritual sense than her husband. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. He wouldn't have taken it. He wouldn't have done as he did there at the altar. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. If he was going to kill us, he would have sent the angel in the first place with the news that he sent. And then, by your insistence, she didn't say that, but we understand that. By your insistence, he's come again and told the very same thing. And notice the reference there, like I told the woman. Manoah should have believed his wife. Should have believed the word of the Lord as was brought. He said, if he's going to kill us, he wouldn't have told us these things that what? These things that have a blessing and a future. Such things as these. Verse 24. And the woman bare a son. Is anybody surprised? No, the Lord said. The Lord said that she would. And called his name Samson. Samson. And the child grew. And the Lord blessed him. He grew. And thinking about Samson, I never thought about it with him. And the blessing of the Lord is upon this man. And he's called him to a work. You realize and remember, I'm sure, that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32, in that honor roll of faith, the scripture says there in that verse, and what shall I say more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, which we've looked at, and Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Samson is listed there. And how many years was it before the Lord began to use Samson? I always take a look at Samson, and in the end, indeed, he is a grown man, but he judged Israel for 20 years. Wouldn't it be something if the Lord started using that boy when he was 9 or 10 years old? Man, that would have been a spectacle, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that have been something? I never thought about it that way. But the power and the might of the Lord is upon him. He's a Nazarite from his mother's womb. Razor's never supposed to touch his head. And wouldn't that be something if Israel was given, therefore, a short time, a number of years, a very young judge? I don't know. We just don't know. But we know that what the scripture says here, and the woman bare a son, called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. And so the Lord began to use his servant Samson indeed. Lord willing, next time we'll pick it up in chapter 14 and we'll see how it is with this man Samson. Again, not a judge that is full grown at the beginning, but a judge that is brought up by his parents. We don't know exactly about the lifetime of his parents, but they seem to be there for his young life. Can a man that knows little about the Word of God and faithfulness to the Word of God, can a man as such teach his son to be faithful? You know, we need to know what God says that we might pass it on into our children. That they might see that not only what we say, but what we do with what the Lord has given us is a part of our life. Lest we be found a hypocrite before them. I wonder about that with Manoah. What was he able to teach Samson? What was he able to instruct his son in? And may the Lord help us that we, wherever it is we find ourselves in life, that we pick up where we are and learn what the Lord says and be a good witness of it unto our children. And we'll see about Samson and how the Lord uses him.